Good morning. Our scripture lesson for this morning is the first chapter of the book of 1 Samuel. I'm going to invite you to remain seated as the text is a rather lengthy one as we read God's word this morning. There was a man of Ramoth of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah. The name of the other was Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now, this man used to go up year after year from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On the day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters, and although he loved Hannah, he would give Hannah only one portion because the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her sorely to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her, and therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat, and why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons?" And I have to stop right there and say, doesn't that just sound like a man? I learned from Elkanah, never ask a question that you're afraid to hear what the answer might be. After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now, Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thy maidservant and remember me and not forget thy maidservant, but wilt give to thy maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and no razor shall touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth, and Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved, and her voice was not heard. Therefore, Eli took her to be a drunken woman. And Eli said to her, "How long will you be drunken? Put away your wine from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord, I am a woman sorely troubled. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your maidservant as a base woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the Lord God of Israel grant your petition which you have made to him." And she said, "Let your maidservant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way and ate, and her countenance was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah, his wife, and the Lord remembered her. And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son, and she called his name Samuel, for she said, "I have asked him of the Lord." And Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I'll bring him, that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and abide there forever." And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you've weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine, and she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slew the bull, and they brought the child to Eli, and she said, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition which I made to him. Therefore, I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he has lent to the Lord." And they worshiped the Lord there. Now let us pray. Take my lips and Let them be filled with messages from thee, O Lord, that we all might hear from you this morning, that your Spirit will bless your truth to our lives, and we might go forth from this place committed to so living. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. It's a delight to have the opportunity to speak to you this morning for a number of reasons. First of all, today is the 36th anniversary of the first sermon I preached here at Beverly Heights Church. I am you're very kind. In reality, I'm the relative who came on Friday night and said, I'm here for a visit on the weekend. And it's Tuesday, and I still haven't gone home. But you're very gracious to, and certainly Pastor Devlin, to invite me to come. Second of all, I'm delighted because of the subject matter. The subject matter is stewardship. I was talking with a former colleague of mine a short time ago, and he was asking me what I was doing. I said I was preaching at Beverly Heights this morning. He said, well, what is your what's your topic? And I said, stewardship. He said, stewardship? That bum Nate. He said, I can't believe he would invite you to come as a guest speaker and to preach on stewardship. I said, I'd love to preach on discipleship. And he said, no, you said stewardship. I said, well, yeah, I like to preach on discipleship. He said, I hate to preach on stewardship, getting up in front of the people and begging for money. And I said, what's that? He said, isn't that stewardship? I said, I don't know anything about that. For 3 decades, I've preached probably between 60 and 75 stewardship sermons. An inventor once begged for money. We said, you of all men are to be most envied, because I'm trying to figure out what this year's silver bullet stewardship sermon is going to be. Well, I tried to explain to him, though I don't think he caught the concept, that my desire and appreciation for preaching on stewardship has to do with what we understand stewardship to be. And so we underscore once again how we understand stewardship. Stewardship is that discipleship principle. That's why I said I like to preach on discipleship, because that's what stewardship is. It's a discipleship practice by which we recognize that all things belong to God. Not just our money given to support the church budget, but everything that we have, our time, our talents, our treasures, our opportunities, our relationships, all things belong to God because he's the creator. And then they are gifts from God to us by his grace, and we are then called upon when we receive them to manage them with thankfulness according to his direction for his praise and for his glory. And therefore, then, every decision we make is a stewardship decision, because everything we have is something that God has first given to us. That's how we understand stewardship, which then leads us today to our text and today's big idea. And that is this: making stewardship decisions, that is, decisions about our time, our talents, our treasures, our opportunities, our relationships, everything, making decisions about what we will bring to the Lord, what we will offer to the Lord, is not something that's haphazard. It's not something that is decided in the car on your way to church. It's not something that is a matter of looking back last year and said, well, I did this, and what's the cost of living increase, and multiplying it by 3 or 4 or 5 or 6%. No. Rather, it must be prayerfully shaped by biblical concepts, exhibited by exemplary saints who have gone before us. Hannah is one of those exemplary saints. Simple. We look to Hannah because as we read the text, she was given something by God's grace of the Lord. And then she managed that in a way that brought honor and glory and praise to God. How did she do that? What did it look like when she brought her offering, which was the offering of her son, Samuel, to the Lord? Well, we're going to look at that this morning. I would suggest to you the following. First of all, Hannah brought what God had first given to her. That's simple. There was a time when she didn't have Samuel. She asked of the Lord, and then the Lord blessed her with Samuel. Had God not given Samuel to Hannah, she would not have had him in the first place, which underscores that God is the creator and Lord, and all things, as we say, belong to him. Samuel was a gift from God, according to his grace, to Hannah. And that goes for us as well. Everything belongs to God. My children belong to God before he gave them to me. My grandchildren, my tractor, my pitchfork, which I just remembered I left out in the rain last night. What kind of stewardship is that? You see, we are not owners. We are managers. And what we bring to the Lord is what he has first given to us. And so we manage what we have, but we hang on to it gingerly. Secondly, Hannah brought what was precious to her. Can you imagine, after a lifetime of suffering as a childless woman, how precious Samuel was to her? And yet she gave him up to the Lord. In the Lord's gracious kindness then to us, think about our own possessions, our time and our talents and our treasures, our opportunities, our relationships. They've been all given to us by God in accord with his kindness toward us. And some of those things are very, very precious to us. And it's difficult to give them up, to have them and then to give them up. But that's what we're called to do. This is the example of Hannah. But as we'll see, such a sacrifice was not onerous to Hannah, and it does not need to be onerous to you and to me. Thirdly, she brought what she had promised to bring. Remember in the scripture text, she made a vow. If you'll give me a son, I will give him back to you. She was keeping a vow. Now, making a vow, that's easy. It's the keeping of the vow that's tough, isn't it? With regard to the stewardship of our money as it relates to the church, many of you remember that years ago, it was the practice in the church to distribute pledge cards. And people would make a pledge on a pledge card. We still do that, Katie? No, we don't do that anymore. We don't do that anymore, I suggest, because many people declined to fill out a pledge card, and what they would say to me is, I didn't fill it out because I don't want to make a vow I can't keep. And a pledge card, in my view, is a vow. I would reply by saying, well, that's simple. Keep the vow. But you see, a vow is made by faith. That means it needs to be a knowledgeable vow, and it needs to be, as Kevin led us, with our arms open and our hands upturned, in trust that the Lord will enable us to keep our promise. So if we don't use pledge cards anymore, that doesn't mean we can't make a vow before the Lord personally, particularly as the church provides us opportunity or the season of the year provides us the opportunity. Hannah brought what she had because she had promised it first to bring it to the Lord. Fourthly, I suggest to you, she brought what she couldn't keep at home and she couldn't keep it back. She could never get it back. Hannah's was a total sacrifice. Samuel couldn't live with her. And once she had given him to the Lord, she couldn't get him back. We're told in the second chapter, which we didn't read this morning, that once a year when Elkanah and Hannah went up to Shiloh to offer, she would have made a linen robe for Samuel to wear. Can you imagine how difficult that must have been? To see him once a year, to be thinking about him as she crafted that robe, and then bring it to him with great joy at seeing him. And she gave it to him. And then she had to turn her back and leave him behind. She gave an offering with absolutely no strings attached. She gave her son to the Lord, not knowing what would happen with him, not knowing how God would use him. But she unreservedly, with no strings attached, that's a challenge for us. Because so often we like to give, but hang on to one string or two. Tell people how it ought to be used, under what circumstances it cannot be used. Well, Hannah gives us an example of how to bring things to the Lord, and that is that we bring it unreservedly. Fifthly, I would suggest to you, she brought what was essentially on loan from God. Samuel was on loan from God. Now, where does that come from? Well, that comes from a play on words that is not picked up in the English, but it is picked up in the Hebrew with the same word with a little bit different sound makes the play on words. So in verse 20, we read, I have asked of the Lord for him. And in verse 28, I have lent him to the Lord. To ask for by way of being someone lending something and then lending it back. Two different English words, but the same Hebrew word. So what does all this mean? Essentially, what Hannah is saying is, I borrowed Samuel from the Lord. I have him. It came from the Lord. And now, since the Lord lent him to me, I'm going to lend him back to the Lord. What is this? This underscores not the ownership of good stewardship, but the management. It's hard to wrap our brains around when we start thinking about managing the existence of people, but that's what it is. The Lord lent Samuel to Hannah in response to her prayer and in accord with his grace. She recognized that. And so in managing with good stewardship what he had given to her in her son, she lent him back to the Lord. What she had was on loan from God. I think that's a good way of thinking about what we have. Some of you know I live on some property out by Weirton. Not a big place, 2 acres, but it's beautiful. We love it out there. But I try to always think about this as I walk the property and how beautiful it is now in the fall, and with snow on the ground yesterday. But this isn't mine. Oh yeah, I pay a mortgage payment every month. But this is on loan from God. And what he's given to me, I now have to manage in ways that glorify him. I confess to you that as I'm digging holes for my wife to plant now, the 37th rose bush, you know, I wish that not only had he lent me the property, but lent me some help to dig the holes. But the digging of the holes is part of my management. Sixthly, Hannah brought what proceeded from her practice of worship. Stewardship is inspired in us by the Holy Spirit, in part by our worship. Stewardship is an act of faith in God, a God who is a God of love, of goodness, of grace, of bounty, of kindness, and of provision. And these are the things that are underscored in our worship, even as they were underscored in what we sang this morning. The attributes of God are appropriately extolled in our worship. And so when you worship a God like that, then we are encouraged to give what is not ours to begin with, in faith and in trust that a God like that, that we've worshiped, will be able to provide all of our needs. When we truly believe that God is truly who we say he is in worship, then we can trust him and we can make a faithful offering of the bounty that God has given to us. Seventhly, Hannah brought what was born out of pain and bitterness. All of Hannah's pain and suffering over being childless and then finally having a son, that might well have discouraged her stewardship. After all, I've waited so long for this son, and now I'm supposed to give him up? Don't I deserve to hold on to some of this? And we too might think that what we have has been a long time coming, or the result of our hard work or our faithfulness or our goodness, and that could discourage us from giving it up. Well, Hannah's example tells us something different. The pain and the suffering she went through, particularly with her rival, the other wife, who had children and Hannah didn't. And when Elkanah went up to worship, he would give a portion of the sacrifice to Peninnah and then her children as well. And it was a bitter, bitter time. And yet when the Lord blessed her with Samuel, as a matter of faith, flowing out of worship, that regular worship, she turned him over to the Lord, lent him back to the Lord. I think it's interesting, number eight, that she brought what the Lord would ultimately use to advance his kingdom. When Hannah brought Samuel to the Lord, she had absolutely no idea the impact that her offering would make in the life and the history of the people of Israel and the implementation of God's plan. Well, if you read the next 12 chapters of 1 Samuel, you can find that out. What an impact Samuel had on God advancing his kingdom through his people, Israel. The same goes for us. We have no idea what the impact of our offering might be. But we know it will have an impact. The Lord lent it to us for us to exercise good stewardship. We lend it back to the Lord, and He exercises good stewardship over the things that He first gave to us. That was a wonderful thing about traveling internationally and visiting our missionaries. And not only our missionaries, but the people who are the beneficiaries of their ministry. I've been in Ethiopia. I've been in Thailand. I've been in the Philippines, where people who were the beneficiaries of missionaries that we support said to me, "Thank you, Beverly Heights. If it wasn't for Beverly Heights, we wouldn't have the gospel. If it wasn't for Beverly Heights, this missionary wouldn't have come to tell us about Jesus." And how did that missionary get there? Through your good stewardship of what God lent to you, which you lent back to Him through the church so that we could support, among other things, missionaries all around the world. One of the great things that I enjoyed while I was here was that the office would call my office and say, "There's somebody here who would like to speak to you." Okay, I'd go down to the office. Here was a person. I had no idea who they were. They said, "I just wanted to stop in. I attended Beverly Heights 35 years ago. I was a kid in vacation Bible school. And through Beverly Heights, I came to hear the gospel and came to faith in Jesus Christ." We have a couple people here at Beverly Heights right now who could give that testimony. Well, when you gave your offering, part of which helped to support the ministry of Vacation Bible School, you had no idea that 40 years later someone would walk in the door who now lives in Indiana, would say, "It was because of Beverly Heights that I came to know Jesus." Well, she brought what the Lord would ultimately use to advance His kingdom, and that is exactly what He will do with what we offer to Him. Number 9, she brought with a thankful heart, and we weren't able to get to that part of the text. That's 1 Samuel chapter 2. She gives thanks and praise to God for all that God has given to her. She knew that if it wasn't for the Lord giving it to her, she wouldn't have it. And now she has it, and she recognizes it came from the Lord, and so she gives thanks to Him. And finally, I would suggest to you that she brought what was restored to her fivefold. Hannah, you see, to use New Testament language, was faithful in little. And so then the Lord gave her opportunity to be faithful in much. She gave up one child. But according to chapter 2, verse 21 of 1 Samuel, she was blessed with 5 more children. Now, I want to be quick to suggest to you that this is not a law of stewardship. There are many people who would believe that. People who would believe or would suggest to you that if you give this amount, then you'll get so much more. When I lived in Oklahoma, there were many churches as you drove through the countryside that in the parking lot there would be boats and there would be mobile homes. And I always thought that they just put them there because that was a good place. There's a place to park. No. Their pastors had said to them, "If you give this boat to the Lord, He'll give you a bigger boat. Give this travel trailer to the Lord, and you'll get a lake house." That's not the concept that the Bible is teaching. But rather, it is a statement of the goodness and kindness and generosity of God, which He lavishes upon those He loves according to His gracious plan. Well, the time is up, but I want to suggest to you just one further thing, and that is this. Hannah's stewardship follows the example of God. God is the ultimate steward. Think about that. He gave to us Jesus Christ. That which was most precious to him. He gave what he promised to give us, what he could not keep in heaven's home. He loaned us his son in response to our need. And out of the fullness of his holy love and grace and kindness did he do this. It was an offering that involved bitterness and pain for his son. But it was an offering he made to us to advance his kingdom in our lives. So truly, as we sing, Jesus was heaven's priceless treasure. Which just leaves us as we end with one big question. Am I being thoughtful, prayerful, thankful, and intentional about whatever offering I am making to God? Boiled all down, am I a good steward in what I am bringing to him? I trust that you are. I pray for you, and I pray for me that we be found faithful. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you will make us good and faithful stewards. We recognize that everything that we have has been given to us from your bounty by your gracious hand, and we thank you for that. And as we've gathered here for worship today, we have worshiped you as a God of goodness and grace and power and might, the one who's our King. The light of this worship, O Lord, then help us to be good stewards. Not afraid to give up what you call us to give up, knowing, Lord, that you are good and gracious and kind, and you will meet that giving up with the fullness of your blessings to us. Lord, that we might be good stewards, that in our stewardship others might come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Your kingdom might be advanced, but most importantly, your greater glory will be made known. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.